Download the ESPN 97.5 app for your iOS or Android device in your app store. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Hey, I see you got the phone connected, huh?
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, two in the books, one to go. We got so many words and not enough show. We just keep throwing it out there and trying to think that you guys are grasping it, you're catching on, and because of it, we're rolling forward. We've opened up a can of worms, a Pandora's box, so to speak, and you guys are chiming in on what you think is or isn't in that box and what should be done with it. We gave you a lot of topics to choose from, the Cowboys situation, the Texans situation, and is Bill O'Brien on the hot seat? We've had a lot of you that want to chime in. There's a lot more waiting to go. And before we do that, I sense that my partner has more.
There's a few texts. Can I read a few texts?
I know that you're happy, so they must be pointed, but go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Why would you say that?
Because I saw your face. Just like when Ernesto crapped the bed on you when you thought he was going to bet back you.
What? No, just go to Johnny, and then I'll read them. I want to be fair to Johnny. I'll read these texts after Johnny's call.
Johnny? Don't be an Ernesto or a Richard. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, first off, on the Texans, and I'm a Cowboys fan, tried and true till the end of the world, seems like. But my first comment is about the Texans and the quarterback situation.
Okay.
Osweiler does not have time to do what he needs to do as far as finding a receiver, going through the reads. I mean, that offensive line is horrible. Second thing is it reminds me of the David Carr situation coming into the Texans' existence. Carr never had time to throw the ball. He wasn't a bad quarterback. He was just, after so long, you keep getting hit after hit, you gun shy. So automatically he's tucking the ball. He's not a running guy. Because he's scared to be back there. You know, he don't have any confidence in his line. That's what I think the number one issue is with those guys. I don't care who you can put Tom Brady back there. And the coach at the Texans is nowhere near Belichick. So you don't nothing offset anything, you know. My second thing is about the quarterback, the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's doing great. I love it, but he's also a rookie. I'm staying even kilter. I'm not getting too high on him because at some point he's going to make rookie mistakes. And when he starts doing that, you're going to have all these bandwagon jumpers that's ready to anoint him the new quarterback of the Cowboys, jumping off the bandwagon. He's going to be the worst. He's throwing interceptions or fumbling the ball, you know, and that's the difference in the Texans offensive line and the Cowboys offensive line. If you swap these players, Swaller in Dallas and Dak Prescott in Houston, you'd see about the same results. As we have, it's not the talent of Osweiler that's making the Texans look like they look.
Well, I think the only point of contention that I would have with you there is you said that Osweiler is kind of under the same duress that David Carr was, and I disagree. It's nowhere near. He's been sacked 11 times this year. There's like 10 to 12 quarterbacks in the league that have been sacked more than he has, and someone that else that's been sacked 11 times is Matt Ryan. So, and he's having a hell of a year. So I don't think he's quite under the same type of pressure that David Carr was under when he first started. And I also don't think that David Carr was a good quarterback, which is what you also said. But other than that, I think you made some great points,
Johnny,
especially about swapping them.
I love the point of swapping them. I think that's a great discussion all in itself. If you put Dak Prescott on the Texans, would the Texans be a better team?
I don't think they're going to be a better team, but I think he adds in a dimension, which is the ability to scramble that you don't have with Brock Osweiler.
I think the other thing is that it comes back to coaching and the plays you're calling, too.
Yeah.
And if you call the right plays.
Listen, I'm not telling you in this argument that Bill O'Brien doesn't need to. That Bill O'Brien doesn't need to do a better job of coaching. I've been saying that. I've said that the problems that they've shown in the losses against the Patriots and the Vikings, to me, was coaching. And it was preparedness. It was part execution, but it was game plan. There was a lot that goes into it. But I disagree that O'Brien should be on the hot seat. I absolutely don't think that's the case. So I do have a couple texts to read. One of them came in a little while ago, but somebody said, "I can't stand Joel."
This is why I knew this was happening.
He said he has yet to tell his other co-host, quote, "You're right."
That's not true.
See, he says he thinks he's always right syndrome. This is a very poignant text.
Nick, is that true?
Such a poignant. You know, our texters really do a good job.
I agree with Travis. I just
think it's because the debate on the hot seat debate, that's the reason why he got that text.
That's fine. I can live with that. For every one bad one, there's plenty good. So we're good.
Somebody said, all of these fans keep saying that Brock is overpaid and the line is trash, but this isn't O'Brien's fault. But that isn't O'Brien's fault. As a coach, he's doing the best he can. People are upset because the team's only 9-7, which in the division is good enough for a playoff spot. Has O'Brien been outcoached against the Patriots and Vikings? Yes, but those are the top two teams in the league. O'Brien is fine. Joel is stupid.
So you were good until Joel was stupid, but otherwise I was going to say very, very educated text until then.
Now somebody's just texting in, acknowledge me. What? All right, you've been acknowledged. Let's go back to the full board
of calls
we had.
Thanks for coming to the show, and don't be a stranger on the road. Jesse in Rosenberg, Bill O'Brien on the hot seat. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, fellas, first-time caller. I just been listening. I'm new to the area. I've been listening to all the sports talk, local radio, and everybody's expected championships in Houston. But when's the last time a Houston team won a championship? This isn't New York. This isn't L.A. This isn't Green Bay, Wisconsin. You said, they were 2-14 2 years ago. Now 9-7, and they're starting off 3-2. It's a lot better than what you had, and you're still complaining.
Yeah, and you won't hear me. Like I heard on the radio the other day, or yesterday, somebody said that at least with Matt Schaub and Gary Kubiak, they kept you in it. Like, that's hilarious how quickly we forget how bad the Schaub-Kubiak era really was. But to your point about not winning championships, that doesn't mean that as a city and as a fan base, you should settle. I mean, you should still expect championships.
I would agree with that. But you know what? It's a rational way of looking at things to some degree. But you have to understand, football is God in the state of Texas.
Yes.
So they don't accept mediocrity ever in anything, but they're definitely not going to accept what's going on when it comes to their football team.
And I understand that, but there's got to be a starting point. You don't go from 2-14 to 12-4 winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, but isn't that in between, Jesse? Isn't that in between winning the division? The progress was made to win the division.
They're taking the right step. They're taking the right step. But to think that they should fire a coach or put him on the hot seat because he started 3-2 with a brand new quarterback, a broken line, a brand new running back, and basically a brand-new receiving corps is ridiculous.
All right, we appreciate the call, Jesse. Good insight from Rosenberg. Don't be a stranger. Call again. We appreciate it. Keyshawn, you are calling from Texas City, and you want to talk about this topic. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
What's up, man?
Good. I was wanting to get in on the Bill O'Brien and the Texans talking to be on the hot seat or not. I think the main thing is, Bill O'Brien, he's proved, 9-7, he's won a division. He can win the division, but even though the division is bad, but he has proved that he can win the division. But I think there's just this persona in Houston that they need to get rid of, that I think they just can't, whenever they play good opponents, that there's always an edge, a lost edge at all. Like, it's been like that since before Bill O'Brien or before Gary Kubiak. It's just that, I'm sorry, not before Gary Kubiak, but even during the Kubiak era, we would always get beat by a really good team. But I feel like with Bill O'Brien, he just needs to get over that stump of getting stumped by really good teams. And once he's be able to actually be able to run with the good teams, then he'll make his outlook look better. But because, we've already proven we can beat the mediocre to average teams. But it's just every time we play really good teams, we always get stumped. And that's what I want to put in.
I appreciate the call, Keyshawn. Don't be a stranger. The input, very interesting question that comes to my mind after hearing that.
Okay.
Would you be more okay with, and this is just saying, assuming that you have problems with certain things that you don't, but would you be more okay with the losses to the likes of the Vikings and the Patriots if they tried to open it up, if they really were aggressive, if they tried maybe even some gadget plays or some things that really tried to, whether, you know, be an onside kick or they tried a gadget play and a reverse and a flea flicker, and they really tried to utilize all their weapons all the time and they still fell short, would that, and would for the fan base, instead of saying just directly towards you, for the fan base, would that appease you more and would you be more likely to say, we're okay because we gave it a shot, than being hyper-conservative like they were in those two games?
Yeah, I think, well, that's what, that was the expectation. So, yeah, I think that it would be better if you saw a difference in play calling. Now, I am sure that Bill O'Brien called a much different game than Gotsi did, but to the average fan or the layperson like me who's not an X's and O's guy, it may not look much different, but I'm sure that, you know, he did something that was different than what they were getting before. But I just recall at one point in the Vikings game, they were trying to get, they threw like a bubble screen to Will Fuller when it was like third and 18 or something, and that got like 4 yards. And that was the play where O'Brien walked away in disgust, and you could see him cursing and saying, oh, come on. You know, so I don't, you know, some of it is execution, but some of it is coaching. Why you're not taking the shot down the field at third and 18 when you're down by as much as they were down makes me still question the play calling. But, you know, yeah, they, I would like to see them open up the offense a little bit. That was the thing about Gary Kubiak that everyone hated, is that he never opened it up, but he would take his shots downfield. So,
Barry, I completely agree with you. The thing is here.
That's because you're smart.
Is exactly to your point. Third and four and third and eight, yeah. And you're running the ball.
Yeah, down by as much as you're down.
In both games. That bothers me the most. That's why I asked the question. If you open it up, would you have a different feeling? Because they at least gave it a college try by doing it and utilizing all their weapons. Something we can discuss on the other side. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Are you...
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack with Nick behind the glass till 4 o'clock. We appreciate you chiming in. We've struck a nerve with you guys. We have a full board. We've had plenty of commentary. There's a reason why I allow Barry to just take the text messages all by himself, because in all his glory, any time that you guys come at me with an ice pick, he likes to make sure he's the driving force behind the handle.
All right, well, let me read this text
then.
Okay. This is this text said, I had the O'Brien is fine, Joel is stupid text from earlier.
Oh, that's the guy that wants to be called out.
And it was meant as humor, not to be taken literal. Joel is a lot of things, and stupid is not one of them, just to set it straight.
Well, we were going to call you.
Was that
who we were going to call?
No. I'll wait for the apology, though. See there?
Oh, there,
see, Joel? Well, I got your back, man.
If he's not apologizing.
If we could only get more positive text about you, I would read them.
Sure. Right. Notice how you don't read, except for randomly, you read the ones about you.
I read every single hate text and tweet that I get, by the way.
Right, you just don't share them on the air.
Dr. Dre on 290 said, I'm waiting for the obligatory, will the Texans go further in the playoffs than Dallas phone call. Kill me now if we get that.
It's coming.
Oh, God.
Okay, so where do you want to go next, Barry? Because we've got a full board. We've got everybody chiming in. Josh, Southeast Houston, you want to chime in? Welcome to the show, Josh.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Josh?
Hey, that previous call you had that was comparing David Carr to Brock is completely wrong. David Carr got sacked 76 times in his rookie year, which I believe is a record in the NFL.
Way to bring Barry to Barry, my friend. Bringing the Daryl Morey to the Daryl Morey of the show. Way to go, Josh.
That's good.
Also, not only this, but Houston Texans fans are actually Texans. I'm a Patriots fan, but first off,
so how'd that happen? By the way,
I'm not used to losing.
So. No, but wait, Josh, how did that happen?
What's that?
You lose a bet? How did that happen?
I was a Patriots fan.
Yeah,
born in the family, bro.
So you from the New England area?
I was outside one day in the yard playing, and the bandwagon drove by, and I hopped on. And
Barry said that, not me. Josh, how did you become a Patriots fan? Just curious. Are you a Houstonian?
My uncle lives in Boston, and we used to go up and visit him during the summertime and just fell in love with the team when I was a kid. And
So ever since then, just beat out blue, gray, and red.
So Steve Grogan was your guy?
Steve Grogan, Drew Bledsoe. I've actually got a Drew Bledsoe action figure from the 90s, still in steel.
What? Huh?
Do you polish that action figure?
No, it's still
filled up. So, all right, buddy. Well, we appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. I appreciate your commentary and chiming in. And with that, we move on. Colby in Mount Bellevue, and oh my God, this was the other name I said was going to rear its ugly head. Besides Tom Savage, Colby with a Brian Hoyer question. Colby, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I want to know what you guys think of. Well, I mean, first off, I guess Brock Osweiler kind of looks decent with the Broncos, but he's not so good with the Texans. And then Brian Hoyer was just short of atrocious with the Texans, and now he's looking like a boss with the Bears, who are an equally as atrocious team. So I just want to hear what you guys' opinion is. And the other thing is, what do you guys think? Cowboys coming to Lambeau? I want to hear your opinion on that. Thanks, guys.
So, Colby, first and foremost, I would never compare what the Houston Texans have with the rest of their roster, aside from the quarterback position, to the Chicago Bears. I would never be that degrading to the Houston Texans. I do believe that even Brock Osweiler would be the same Brock Osweiler, only worse if he was on the Chicago Bears. And I would never torture Texan fans to force them to take Jay Cutler or to take Hoyer back to quarterback the Houston Texans. I knew these were going to come because he almost had 400 yards, but they lost.
But I get where he's going. I mean, it's a fair question to say, you know, you had this quarterback who did well in Denver, and then he comes here and the quarterback guru of Bill O'Brien, and he's not performing
well.
So
he's saying it's the system without saying it's the system.
Well, he's saying it's coaching, which I think is what I've been saying.
Oh, boy.
But I mean... Brian Hoyer has been Brian Hoyer forever. He had these games, just like Fitzpatrick had those types of games where he would go and throw 400 yards every now and then. But trust me, Brian Hoyer will regress to the mean, just like Ryan Fitzpatrick does. Ask the Jets fans at the end of the season
after he held out and wanted all that money, and there's only two quarterbacks in this league that are ranked lower than Brock Osweiler right now. Can you guess who they are?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
There you go.
And...
the guy that's no longer starting in San Francisco, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, so there you go.
So there you have it. And so Ryan Fitzpatrick, who wanted $14 million a year, proved his true worth.
Yeah, and so they'll regress to the mean. That's why I get where he's going with that, and it's a fair question to ask. But I just don't know if it's legitimate because Hoyer, he'll have those games. He just happens to be having a couple of them back-to-back. Now, if he does this throughout the rest of the year and Jay Cutler never sees the field again, And the Bears end up in the playoffs, well, lo and behold. But remember, Brian Hoyer had his opportunities here. He did well for a while, and then he fizzled.
In essence, you have Brock Osweiler because you had Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
Because you were tired of the revolving door at quarterback ever since Matt Schaub left, and you kept trying to find that short-term fix or that quick answer to the question of who's going to quarterback your team, and they couldn't find one.
You know,
so when they finally thought that they found one, the powers that be thought this was their guy, they identified him, and they locked him up.
I don't think anyone disagreed with the signing of Brock Osweiler when it went down. It was the right move rather than going and taking a risk on a rookie when you've got to be in win-now mode because J.J. Watt is reaching his prime and will soon be on the downside of his career in a couple of years. So I think they did the right thing, but you know what? They got Ty Lawson. Let's face it. I mean, that's what happened. You went out, you made a move that everyone felt was good, and it just hasn't panned out so far. And sometimes that's going to happen to you.
It's not a bad analogy. You're absolutely right. I mean, here's the thing. Did I disagree with you?
I think so.
The biggest thing that you have to say is, look, the question I threw out, and I didn't say that they were wrong in doing it, but the question I threw out was seven games enough of a sample size for you to say, I'm going to give you $17 million a year or $72 million overall, and I'm going to make you the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans.
But
was that enough of a sample size? It's the question that I asked.
Yeah. I don't know that it was, but I don't know that they had another choice. They could have done the draft.
I think because of the revolving door, time had run out.
Yeah.
The sands through the hourglass said, we've got the best defensive player on the planet.
Yep.
We got a good defense. We're going to go out and spend some money to support the guys that we already have in place. We need some guy that's going to lead this football team because the time is now. So they made the decision.
They
pulled the trigger.
In the draft.
They did all the other things, and all those other areas, dare I say, they worked out. From Will Fuller to Lamar Miller, They worked out, right? Yep. The guys they brought in. The biggest thing is just the fact that the quarterback didn't. Yep. With that, we'll take one more call before the break. Adrian, you want to chime in from Santa Fe? You say the J.J. Watt impact should be factored in.
I believe so. What's going on, Joel? Nice to hear you back on the air again.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
And Barry, you kicked my Aggie-dom. You're killing me, Barry. You scare me every weekend. Let my loss come to me. Don't let me have. Don't have me looking for it.
They tried to lose it, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And that's why I was staring at the TV, and I was like, Barry, you better not be right. I'm going to be.
Hey, man, and I picked them. I told you, I picked them. Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm picking them against Alabama, but I picked them.
Tell the truth, though. When you saw that field goal miss, you saw my face, didn't you? Or you heard my voice at least go, told you. I know you did.
Hey, Adrian, if you admit that, you have bigger problems than we can solve on this show. So don't admit that. Don't answer that. And let us know what you think about this J.J. Watt impact.
All right. Far as J.J. Watt, my question is, man, with him being gone, is it me or... is there not enough talent on the other side of the ball like we all thought? Because this team has dramatically stepped back since he's been down. Either that or all the offensive coordinators on their schedule all threw a party and got together and did some kind of dance, and they're all still feeling high from it because defense can't stop anything. And Bill?
Adrian, you know what they served at that party? Kool-Aid. But at the same time, my man, look, I don't think that their defense is bad. And I think we talked about it. I think Travis Johnson even talked about it. The fact that with J.J. out, they've actually become more of a tight-knit unit because they don't stand around waiting for J.J. to make the big play. And they've got players. Simon's a good player. Look, I mean, Clowney played his ass off last week. And I think that...
against the Vikings?
Yeah, he played hard. We identified five or six players. If you watch what he had four or five tackles for loss in the backfield.
Yeah, he Clowney, had a couple of good plays.
And Vince Wilfork played decent in the middle of the line. Simon, I thought, was all over the field chasing the ball. But there were only five guys. You got to have everybody bought in. But I don't think the rest of the defense is awful, per se. I think the problems you have are on the offensive side of the ball.
Say again?
I think the problems you have if you're the Texans are all on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, no. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay, text Barry.
They got problems all over the place, let's be real.
Okay, I agree that there are problems all over the place, but I think you got more bigger fish to fry on the offensive side of the ball than the defense side of the ball. I don't think the defense is playing bad, per se. I think the offense is where your games are being lost.
I would agree with that. Somebody said O'Brien is great. He is the best. Anyone who thinks otherwise eats their corn cob long ways.
And with that, all we can say is ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, I'm...
live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry, with about a half hour left to go, we've had a very animated and full board the entire day. You guys are passionate. We love that about you, and we want you to chime in. We still got time, so 713-780-ESPN. You can call, you can text, or you can tweet us, and you know how to reach us. And if you don't, people out there will tell you, because they'll show you that if we build it, you will come, and you will come with great takes like Nathan in Houston, who wants to talk about the Texans' offense and defense. Nathan, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Joel? I'm Barry. You guys have done the best show I've listened to in a while, so I thought I'd chime in a little bit about what you guys are saying with the offense and defense.
Thanks, man. And, appreciate that.
The defense is only as good as long as they're on the field. When they're on the field for twice as long as the offense, they're going to wear down and get gassed, and they're not going to be able to cover every single thing if they're spending almost twice the time. You look at the game on Sunday, they were on the field for nearly 37 minutes.
Yeah, that's
great. Hey, man, that's a great point, brother. I'm with you.
Because you can't, as an offense, you can't stay on the field. You're never going to give your defense a chance to rest. And I've never seen a team go to the Super Bowl when they don't spend at least 25 minutes on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that it wasn't until, like, the third quarter or midway through the third quarter until they got their first down or converted on third down or something. It was not good. They were a lot of three and out. So, to your point, yeah, that defense is going to wear down regardless of who you have or who's missing. I mean, no defense can sustain that kind of energy and that kind of level for that long.
Okay, so
their first down was actually because of a pass interference call.
Yeah.
They didn't actually earn it. They were given it.
Yeah.
Okay, Nathan, so you talked about the defense. Let me ask you a question about the offense. Are you pleased with the offense, yes or no? And if you're not, why? And do you not agree that, regardless of whether he's on the hot seat or not, when you take over the play call and you expect to see change, I haven't seen that change. And the thing that has been consistently working has been Lamar Miller, and they completely abandoned Lamar Miller in the running game.
Well, I mean, I look at it like this. Brock Osweiler should have learned from Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is by far one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And if you didn't learn from that guy and his game management, then obviously you were never meant to be a starting quarterback. More so, as a coach, Bill Belichick taught Bill O'Brien a lot of his trade secrets, and yet he got spanked in a game where he should have been able to at least understand what Bill Belichick was going to bring to the field with no actual quarterback. I mean, so if he's taking over playing calling, Bill O'Brien's got to do a better job from the get-go of planning to beat people, not just planning to compete with betting people.
So now, Barry, Nathan brings up a good point, too.
Thanks for the call, Nathan.
Nathan knows what I know, which is Bill O'Brien came from the Belichick system.
Uh-huh.
So you have to know his tendencies. You have to know, basically, because you ran this man's offense, and you know that at the end of the day, Bill gets to have the final say. That you, regardless of the fact that it's your third-string quarterback and he might throw a couple of wrinkles, overall, I feel like he should have had a better grasp on what to expect from the Patriots because of the time that he worked under Belichick, or at least a better idea.
I think that I could see where that would be an easy assumption to make, but keep in mind that a lot of times, when you work for a guy, that doesn't mean that you can predict what he's going to do. You may know some of the base offenses that they're going to run or the base defenses that they're going to run, but at the end of the day, they're going to throw in wrinkles that exploit weaknesses that each team that they're facing week in and week out have. So they're not going to come in and run the same set of plays in the same order every time. If they look at and say, well, there's no J.J. Watt, let's run to that side of the field, as opposed to, well, normally we like to run up the middle or run left or, you know, screen passes or whatever. So I think that, yeah, from a standpoint of does he kind of have an idea of how a game plan might be outlined, sure, but filling in that outline is where those details, that's the difference between Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick, is Bill O'Brien doesn't quite fill in the details as well as Bill Belichick does.
Hey, Nick, whether you work for them or with them, you still know their tendencies. I know Barry's going to bust my chops with text messages every time he's in here, so I at least know that coming in. Therefore, whether it's the third string answering the calls or the first string, I know what we're going to have. I have an idea. I can't go, like, I completely
But that doesn't
know.
Help you, though. I mean... That
it should help prepare.
It gives you a starting point, like I said.
Well, you need a starting point. Obviously, if you're going to get the goose-egged by a third-string quarterback, you should at least get prepared better.
You didn't get goose-egged by the quarterback. You got goose-egged by their defense. And that's my point.
I think what Bill Belichick knew what Bill O'Brien was going to do more than Bill O'Brien knew what Belichick was
going to do. But, dude, that's like saying every head coach that came from why am I blanking on the Niners coach? Bill Walsh should be able to beat Bill Walsh. That doesn't make any sense. It's the details.
Should beat. You should be able to have certain assumptions made, things to expect, because you know in the West Coast offense – whether it's predicated by the fact
I'm agreeing with you on that, but I'm not saying that that's the difference between winning and losing a game.
I'm going to pull a Barry. I never said that they should beat them. Okay. I just think they should be more prepared and should have know what was coming a little bit more or know what to expect.
I don't know. I think that you might be putting too much stock in that, but that's just me. I mean, that'd be like saying, well, if we go out and get Vince Wilfork, we're going to know exactly what their defense is going to do. They change. I mean, defenses evolve and change from week to week, much less year to year. So, I mean, I'm sure that what Bill Belichick does now is completely different than what he did when Bill O'Brien was there.
I'm just going to say not completely.
Yeah, it's called Tom Brady.
I understand, but I think that there's still, you still have a basis for everything that you do offensively. There are certain staples that are still going to be there that you can prepare for, that you know are going to be wrinkles and or staples in a system run by that guy. So let's go to Clarence. Clarence, you want to get on the topic. Travis, hold on. We see you joining the conversation, but Clarence first from Houston, you want to chime in on the Texans.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
All right, I'm doing good. Well, first off, I'm listening to what y'all guys are saying. And first off, it's famously known that anybody who came from the Belichick system doesn't do well on their own. You go down the list with McDaniel.
Mangini.
You go all down the list on every assistant coach you had. They've never done good on their own. Secondly,
good point.
Even though you know what he's doing, you come from his system, you work with him for years, that doesn't necessarily mean you can prepare for it and stop it. Belichick is famous for taking away your best option. I mean, Brock Osweiler isn't even proving yet. So all he did was double the wide receivers, try to make you beat with Lamar Miller, and then see where you go from there. And then he just completely shuts you out. Now, I don't know what's going on with the offense. Maybe they need to just kind of ground and pound it a little bit more. And then, you know, do a couple of play actions. But you went and got Lamar Miller for a reason.
Thank you.
He's a nice running back with a good pass option. He's known for catching passes out the backfield. Went and got him just for that reason instead of injury-prone Arian Foster, who y'all shipped to Miami. Then you went and got Brock Osweiler, who, just because he played behind Peyton Manning, the greatest ever, doesn't mean he's going to learn everything from Peyton Manning.
Clarence, thanks for the call. And look, I you should be able to pick up tendencies. I'm not saying you should be able to beat him. But the one thing that I disagree on is, and Barry, you disagreed when I said during the week that, of that game, he's going to take away something. That's his deal. And I said, and that's where I disagree with Clarence, he took away the run. He loaded the box and said, I dare Brock Osweiler to beat us. And I want to see which Brock shows up, week one or week two. That's what I had said. So I agree that he takes something away. I don't agree in what he took away. But regardless, I'm not saying just because they're disciples of the Belichick tree, they're going to beat him. But I'm saying you should know what to expect when you prep a few things that are coming at you because of the Belichick system.
All right. Well, we're just going to have to, I mean, I get it. We're talking in a circle now, but I get your point. But I just don't. I think there may be too much emphasis put on that sometimes.
Sometimes we put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, but that's what we do here because we want to make sure that we are a non-perfect show trying to be perfect in your eyes, or at least perfect enough to come back and listen every day. We'll be right back. ESPN 97.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
If you.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
One segment to go. It's Joel and Barry along with Nick behind the glass as we go till 4 o'clock, and we tip our cap to you guys because you have kept this thing rolling like a barrel downhill, and we appreciate it. You guys have been a big part of the show today and have had a lot to say. We appreciate that. With that in mind, we've got a couple calls to get to, and not a, as the Smokey and the Bandit theme would be, we got a long time or a long way to go and a short time to get there, so we're going to do what they say can't be done. We're going to try and get these three calls in, and we are going to start with Mike, who's been holding the longest. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's good, up, man? What do you got?
Hey, I just want to talk about the whole culture of the Houston Texans. I feel like I've played football in middle school and little league and all that in the state of Texas. And I just feel like the culture of the Houston Texans is we're just trying to do our jobs, and I feel like the thing that we need to do is start punching people back in the mouth. You need to let these players know and let these guys know that we're not going to get punched in the mouth. We're going to line up, we're going to play hard, and we're not going to get punched in the mouth. I feel like that we're getting punched in the mouth every week, and we're not doing a good job of just it's okay to execute, but we're getting punched in the mouth every week. Every time we lose to a good team, we get punched in the mouth. We got to fight back.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, you know, I'm going to disagree with Mike on that. I think these are paid professionals that know what their job is. Sometimes you can't execute. Sometimes the guys are better than you. I think that sentiment to me is more like the Astros used to frustrate me, because you'd always see the Astros guys getting brushed back or hit, and then the pitchers never retaliated. And I don't think that's the case with the Texans. I think there's a certain amount of fire and fight that you hope to see a team have. But at the same time, they're professionals, man. They're going to go out there and handle their business like professionals. So I don't know if this is one of those guys or one of those teams that's as fiery as some of the other teams in the NFL.
I think every team has its own personality.
Yeah.
And some guys, like, you don't want to be the Bengals. You don't want to be excessive on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
I understand the caller's point, Mike, saying, I'd like to see a little bit more fire in their belly. Maybe come out with a little bit more emotion.
Yeah.
Maybe that sums it up.
Okay. That's a fair point.
Derek, East Houston, Bill O'Brien tendencies. Welcome to the show.
All right. My problem is that I feel like, let's go back to the New England game. You knew they were going to take everything over the top. They're giving you the short stuff. Take the short stuff. He's not giving you anything over the top. And defensively, they're not going to let the pass rushers get to the quarterback. They're going to go quick. Expect that. Don't blitz. Don't send four or five guys. Send three and make that guy try to run. They just don't game plan very well. And they're trying to fix that stuff inside the game, but it's too late at that point. That's all I
want to
say.
Derek, I don't disagree with you. Great call. Don't be a stranger. Come on back. Because what I would say is, more so than anything else that you said, the key there was they needed to worry less about the blitz and putting quick pressure on the quarterback and guard the edge. The one thing that bothered me the most was LeGarrette Blount is going to be a lumbering back going right through the middle of the line. But when he gets to the edge, there better be nothing there. And he was able to turn the corner. But even worse than that was Brissett was able to go back door to the other edge and get 25 yards and more. Right, twice he rattled off huge gains for more than 10 yards that just shouldn't have been there. They should have done a better job on the edge.
Well, it's like I've been saying. I mean, this debate has morphed, but I think it started off being, is it right to say he's on the hot seat or not? But I've been saying that I think that the issue these couple of games that they've gotten blown out is coaching and preparedness. And I think you're right. I mean, game planning is part of that. So
I completely agree with you, Barry.
They
he could should
have
be
done,
on the hot seat.
No,
you're
I didn't
absolutely
say
right.
That. You are putting words in my mouth.
And
too
I'm
well.
Enjoying doing it, too. It's a lot of fun. Travis and Katie, you want to get on the discussion? Thanks for the call. And what do you got?
Hi, I just want to say that one thing that's being forgotten is it was Jacoby Brissett. It wasn't Tom Brady. You know, Bill O'Brien's been out-coached every game that he's lost. And, you know, Mike Zimmer lost his starting quarterback and his Hall of Fame running back, yet he still out-coached Bill O'Brien on every facet of the game. I mean, that defense is just a team defense. There's not one J.J. Watt-like player, yet we still couldn't do anything on offense.
Oh,
I mean, it's a great defense.
It's also a team.
Still.
It's also a team from the standpoint of coaching, too. So I'm not going to put it all squarely just on Bill O'Brien. It's on all of his coaching staff, too, just like Mike Zimmer and his coaching staff did an excellent job preparing for the Texans. Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, to sell that defense short by saying there's no stars on there.
Yeah, I wouldn't
know.
Say that either. But, you know what, and to his point on offense, take Ryan Khalil and take him out of the mix, too. So you got an all-pro offensive lineman to go with Peterson, to go with Bridgewater. And I think the biggest thing that makes that whole engine go is the fact that no one saw Sam Bradford going in with no time and training camp to prep and take over that team, grab the reins, and they aren't going to miss a beat. They may even be better, especially in the passing game, and he's done all that, those things. So definitely, if you want to give that credit to Mike Zimmer, I can't argue with you.
Yeah. A couple of texts. Somebody said the Texans fans should just be glad they spent money in the offseason.
I don't disagree with that.
They need to invest in the offensive line. That was Josh in Beaumont. Somebody called us clowns and said the Texans defense better without J.J. Watt. Think about Whitey. I have no idea what that means.
But remember the clowns are on the warpath.
I don't think that either one of us said that the Texans defense is
better. But they're not a bad defensive team just because you take J.J. Watt out. The reason why they were a good defensive team either way and were ranked where they were ranked is because you had complimentary players and more than just J.J. Watt, like Merciless, like a healthy Brian Cushing, like the guys that they bring to the table like Simon and those and Vince Wilfork and company. Look, they're not as good as they would be with J.J., but I don't think that they're just horse crap because you don't have J.J.
Somebody texted in, Chuck Norris trained under Bruce Lee but lost their epic fight in the Coliseum. So that's a great, great point.
In your mind, yeah.
That was a great text. I don't know why. You thought that was going to be about you at the break when I started laughing at it. You did. Somebody said the Patriots ran a totally different offense against the Texans. You can't prepare for that.
Huh? I said tendencies. I don't care. Yes, you may, you know, look, you may or may not see Edelman in the quarterback position, and they're going to run a certain offense out of the pistol, right? Okay, but overall, you know what his running tendencies are. You know somewhat of what his style of play calling is, when he runs, when he passes. You know some things. I'm not saying it's going to be the end-all, be-all and that you've got the inside scoop on how to beat Belichick. I'm just saying you should know some things. I don't think you should be shut out, and I think you should also have had a better opportunity to give your offense a chance to make some plays.
All right, one more text. 281 said, Joel.
Oh, did they hyphenate it?
Yeah, they did. J-O-E-L. That's why I'm reading it. I'm just reading it. Don't shoot the messenger.
You see, Nick, what I deal with?
Joel.
Was it really a hyphen?
Yeah, it really is. Joel, don't shoot the messenger. Joel, the thing is that Belichick knows that O'Brien knows his tendencies. Therefore, he can plan accordingly. And he does that way better than O'Brien does. I think that was from T-Bone.
So, again, whether it's Skywalker or whether it's Daniel-san in The Karate Kid, it's easier for the sensei to be able to dominate the pupil than it is the pupil to dominate.
Is that fair? Is that fine? No, I think.
Or did Belichick just know that Bill O'Brien's play calling sucked? I'm just throwing it out there.
What I think is fair is to say that I was right for most of this show. I think that's fair to say, Joe.
I think if you're Barry's parents, that's fair to say. And otherwise, with everybody else involved, except for the one guy who actually came back, and I appreciate that, we agree to disagree. And I'll leave it there and be just politically saying, correct.
Just hot for- seat was silly. It's so easy. Look at you. You're just
two hot seats waiting to go. We got them warmed up, ready for Fred and AJ. The Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5 FM. Like I'm alive
again. ESPN 97.5.